Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on our gospel lesson, The Temptation of Jesus, just read from Matthew chapter 4. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes during the sermon, the written notes are on page 9 in your bulletin. If you picture the devil as a guy wearing a red suit with a pointy tail carrying a pitchfork, then maybe this sermon is not for you. Or maybe it is. My goal this morning with the sermon is for us to take sin and temptation seriously. To consider the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan, which we just heard in our gospel lesson. To think about the story of Adam and Eve and their fall into sin in our Old Testament lesson. To reflect on Paul's conversation about sin and grace in our New Testament lesson this morning. To consider these biblical accounts in terms of our own lives. To recognize that we are being tempted by sin and to think about where that is in our daily lives. To acknowledge that we face a formidable foe in the evil one. And most of all, to look to Jesus for forgiveness and for strength in times of temptation. You and I often fall into one of three categories when it comes to sin and temptation. The first category is the enjoy life crowd. Folks in this category, they don't want to talk about sin and temptation. That would cramp their style. On a recent trip, Nancy and I saw a group that had a banner displayed with these words: relax. There is no hell. There is no heaven. Enjoy life. Folks with that attitude want to pretend that sin and temptation don't even exist. Don't talk about those things. Those are outdated concepts. Life is to be enjoyed without limits. If it feels good, go ahead. Do it. If you're in this category, instead of seeing God's commandments as a gift to us, a blessing to us, and a guide to how we can live life in a way that is pleasing to God, it sees God's law as an obstacle to enjoying life. If you could just do away with the commandments, or at least ignore them, life would be so much more fun. What a deadly attitude. The second category in regard to sin and temptation is the I know I'm not perfect, but crowd. If you're in this group, it's not that you don't acknowledge sin and temptation. You're not trying to do away with it. The attitude here is one of comparison. Because what is really meant when you or I say, I know I'm not perfect, but is, sure, I sin, but I don't do really bad things like that person over there. In fact, I'm actually pretty good much of the time. We become comfortable with a certain level of sin in our lives. We make accommodation for that, and we pride ourselves in not being really bad like some people are. It's okay as long as it doesn't get out of hand. All I can say to this attitude is, Lord, have mercy. The third category you and I might fall into when it comes to sin and temptation is perhaps the trickiest one. It's the Jesus died for me and my sins are forgiven crowd. I had to practice that several times be able to say it that fast. The issue here is that we simply jump to the antidote for sin, Jesus Christ. We don't consider the impact of sin and temptation in our lives. What's the big deal? Jesus died for me anyway, so if I sin, I'll just be forgiven again. I'll just go to the grace dispensing machine and get some more of God's grace and forgiveness. Why should I waste time thinking about how the devil's attacking me or thinking about changing my life so that it is more like Jesus? Jesus will forgive me anyway. And grace becomes a convenient salve for a lifestyle that is far from God. Whatever crowd you are a part of, and my guess is that you and I have been a part of each one of those crowds at various times in our life, hear the word of the Lord. Hear that sin separates you from God, creates a barrier between you and God. Hear the word of the Lord that says, no one is righteous, not even one. Hear God declare, the soul that sins is the one that will die. I want you to pretend something for a few moments this morning. I want you to pretend that you are looking into a mirror, into a spiritual mirror. Take your hand and just hold it like this and pretend that it's a mirror that you're looking into. This spiritual mirror shows what you really look like, spiritually speaking, with regard to sin and temptation. If you're honest, as you look in that mirror, you see sin. Let's say it shows your sins in graphic detail for the last week of your life. It shows the temptations you faced and how you often gave in to them without much of a fight. It's painful for you and for me to look into that mirror. Painful to see what sin and temptation have done in our lives. You and I would be ashamed to have anyone else see what we see in that mirror. But keep looking into that mirror. Realize that when God looks into your mirror, when God sees what's reflected in that mirror, he does not see your sin. No, God sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He does not see your sin. He sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ given to you as a gift of God's grace, given for you in place of you. Hence, Paul wrote, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." Imagine that. God does not see your sin, but instead sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the best thing is, you don't need to imagine it. That's the way it is. It is true. It is real. The Father looks at you and sees not your sins, but only Jesus. Jesus, who lived the perfect life in your place. Jesus, who died the death you deserve to die. Jesus, who rose again so that you might live daily in the certain hope that one day you will rise to life forever with him. What's the big deal? The big deal is Jesus. Look to him. Trust in him. Rely on him. Seek him. Oh Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. I invite you